What an honor to be here. And gosh, I don't know if you guys want to know this or not, but just before coming out here, I have some friends that fly airplanes, and they fly airplanes for in another country. And they fly airplanes in another country, like F-16s and F-15s. And I just got a text from one of them. And when you go home tonight, turn on the news, I guess, if they're covering it in the States. But Israel is out right now to defend its existence as we speak. They're saying that there's a full-scale attack from Hamas coming out of Gaza. So pray. There's a lot of Christians in Gaza, you guys. We need to pray for them. But things are crazy because also up in the north regarding Hezbollah up in Syria and Lebanon, things are, this is going to be a dynamic summer in the Middle East. So let's just pray right now. Father, we ask you, Lord, you've made it very clear regarding Israel. You said once you brought them back into their land from of old, they would never again be uprooted. And we know, Lord, that the very things that are taking place, they may be news tonight in the news, but they're not news to you. You're the eternal God, and we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we praise you for being the God that nothing surprises. And that's true in the world scene, and it's true right here tonight in our own lives. No matter what we bring into the sanctuary tonight, nothing can rattle you. Nothing has surprised you. So, Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Father God, and ask you to bless not only this night, but the seeds that were planted last night with Skip. And, Lord, this week, my goodness, what a great vision Pastor John has had for this. And we just ask you to be honored in it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. And I know that these nights are nights of evangelism. And it will be tonight. But the verse that I'm going to, or the passage of Scripture, is not your most common evangelistic text to go to lead people to Christ. But that's okay. It's the Word of God. God will use it. And maybe for some of us, we need to be reminded of what God has saved us from. And this is my prayer tonight. I'm going to let the cat right out of the bag. If you're not what we call as Christians saved tonight, because look, if you're not a Christian and you've been invited here tonight, you don't understand Christianese. Right? Christianese? You know what Christianese is? Things like, hallelujah, man. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless God. The stuff that we say, remember, you were once not a believer. I was once not a believer. And I didn't get all that stuff. Oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh, hallelujah. Man, when you're not a Christian, when you're not a Christian, you just say, man, those people are nuts. They are crazy. But we're not crazy. We just see things different now. And we see things through the Word of God, and it really matters what you believe. We're going to be talking about that tonight. It really matters what you believe. And it all starts off because God is so faithful to me, he's so kind to me, that he gave me an introduction for tonight just a few hours ago. A few hours ago, I had to go to Lowe's to buy something for the house. And going in there, in the garden section, this is what happened. And I wrote it down. Are you ready to hear it? God is so good. Here's what happened. This woman said behind the counter, behind the register there, she said, that girl over there goes to your church, and she said that I should go. But I told her, why should I go and get in line just to be bored? I do not attend churches because it's all so boring. And she just said that to me right to my face, which I really appreciate. No, I mean it. I really mean it, because you know what? Instantly, all of a sudden, I knew exactly where she was at. And so I said, well, I don't know. You know what? Check out my cart. And in my cart, I had amazing sunflowers in the pots, right? And I had some other flowers. And I said, I don't know, check this out. Boring or not boring? And she goes, well, that's silly. Not boring. And I said, well, look outside. There are some clouds out there. Boring or not boring? She goes, that's not boring. I go, well, there's an amazing breeze blowing through this place. Boring or not boring? And she goes, not boring. And I said, look, forget about people and forget about you being bored or not. It's really not about you. if you go to church and it's not about you even standing here at work right now, the truth of the matter is it's all about God, and He's not boring. God is not boring. So listen, if you're not a Christian tonight, I want you to think about that for a moment. God is not boring. If you've gone to church and it's been boring, or you know a Christian who bores you, then just know this, that Christian may love Jesus, but they're not doing Christianity right. What do I mean by that? We all have personalities. Here's the cool thing. Jesus did not die for our personalities. He died for our sins. And for each and every one of us, God wants to use you, Christian, to tell others that He brings into your life about Jesus. You might say, well, I'm a very quiet person. Then God is going to bring very quiet people probably into your life, or those who appreciate quiet people in your life, so that you can share with them. None of us as Christians are exempt from sharing the gospel. The Bible tells us that we are all to do the work of an evangelist. That doesn't mean we're all evangelists. I had Pastor John pray for me because he knows my heart on this. We've known each other for years. I said, John, why'd you invite me out here for this week of revival? I can't lead one person to Christ. I have tried for years. I've tried for 37 years. Maybe three, four. I don't know. I don't get it. I understand the gospel. I heard the gospel. I responded to the gospel. But I'm a Bible teacher, and I've tried to do evangelism, and it just doesn't work. And then there's guys like you're going to hear, is it Raul Reese tomorrow night? Yeah. Raul Reese will come out and sneeze, and 100 people will come forward. I don't get it. But this I know, God's not boring. God is awesome. How awesome is He? Ephesians chapter 2, are you there? I give you a long time to turn there. Are you there? Ephesians 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others, or the others specifically. Verse 4, but God, isn't that great, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love, wherewith He had loved us. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And here's what I want to talk about tonight as we go through this. We'll kind of run through this passage of Scripture. For those of you who are not Christians tonight, I don't want you to be offended by what I'm going to say by way of introduction. And by way of introduction, I want to say right now tonight that I want to introduce to you the concept of God. See, you might say, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't have a Bible or read a Bible. I don't really, I know who Jesus is and all that stuff, but, I'm not like a pagan, a heathen. But when I say I want to introduce to you the concept of God, friends, listen, believer and non-believer alike tonight, we live in a culture and in a world. When somebody says, oh, do you believe in God? Listen, we need to respond by asking this question. God who? People all around the world, listen, America has never been more spiritual, and it's never been more lost. People talk about God, but now, I don't know how it is in your community, but in Chino Hills, we've had such a dynamic shift in the last 5 years of our culture where you need to ask people, what God do you believe in? Because people have shrines, they've got images, they've come from various parts of the world, and they have all of these beliefs in gods, plural, or different kinds of gods completely than what you understand. And so God who? So when I talk about the concept of God, there's some things I want to have you be thinking about tonight, and I want to hopefully stimulate your thought to bring you to this conclusion tonight. Think about this regarding the God question. Why should I believe in God? You may be here tonight saying, number one, I'm educated. How can I believe in God? This is a big deal in the college campuses today. Those of you who are 30 years of age or under, there's this new thing called the new atheist. And it's kind of a very interesting new world argument regarding atheism. And one of the arguments is regarding this, that God cannot exist. We can explain everything away in very tidy ways to disprove the existence of God. And you'll ask them, how do you do that? And they'll say, listen, everybody, because you're going to encounter this. They'll say, science explains God away. Have you ever been to school? Have you ever had science? Science does not tell you anything about why. Science cannot tell you why. You say, well, wait a minute, you're insulting me tonight. I have all these degrees, and that's why I don't believe in God. My dear friend, listen, think tonight. Regarding the existence of God, nowhere, never has science ever claimed to explain God away. Science cannot say, if you're educated, you cannot tonight say, I am so educated, I used to believe in God, but now I'm so educated, I do not believe in God anymore. As though your education has explained God away. Science never explains why. It only can explain how things work. How things go in the universe. How things go in your body. How things work with the vibration of these speakers into your ears. It only can tell you how. Science can never tell you why. Have you ever baked a cake? I've never baked a cake, but I'm using this as an example. If you were to bake a cake and you were to present the cake to me, I would look at this cake and I would sample the cake and I would enjoy the cake. But if you have a physics background, you would begin to explain how the cake was baked. You would go through all of your explanation as to how or why this thing works, the egg and the flour and the sugar and the this and the that. But you know what? We'll never know. Listen, my friend, you'll never know why the cake was made. You might know how it was made, but you'll never know why it was made unless you talk to her. You've got to ask her, why'd you make the cake? In the world around us, as we consider that God exists, what is the evidence? Is there evidence that God exists? Should I believe in God? Because the new atheists today say this, that if God is the creator of everything, then who made him? And this is the culture you guys are now being baptized into. Who made your Christian God? Well, you know what? Listen, the number one thing you need to realize is people are making today across the board in universities and in school classrooms a great mistake, because the God of the Bible is not a created God. If somebody made the creator who created us, that's called an idol. And the world is full of idols. But listen, as we talk about being a Christian, why should you be a Christian tonight? It's not because we had wonderful time together with the music and the worship, and we got together and we all took these Sophie pictures of one another. That has nothing to do with it. You know why you should believe in God tonight? Because it's reasonable. Because it makes sense. Because listen, the God of the Bible is not a created God. He exists outside of creation. He's the creator God. So I want you to think about that for a moment. Why should I give my allegiance to God? Don't swallow the lie that science has explained God away. Listen, the greatest fathers of science, Kepler, Newton. In fact, Newton, listen, Sir Isaac Newton, I don't know if you know this or not, he was a profound believer in Jesus, and he wrote a commentary in the book of Daniel. Newton was amazing. Newton, probably the greatest scientific mind that's ever existed, Newton said that when he discovered his scientific discoveries, it led him to greater worship in God. So I want you to think about that as we go through this evening, because it's vitally important. And so also this, is there sufficient evidence for you to give your faith or to put your faith in God? And as a Christian, should you put your faith in God more and more? Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Is your faith growing? And as a Christian tonight, speaking to the Christians, your faith should be getting stronger with every scientific discovery. Plus, your faith should be getting stronger every time you read your Bible. Why is that important? Because do you know anybody who doesn't know Jesus? When they come and ask you about Jesus, you got to give them an answer. You can't say Christianese, praise the Lord. You can't say, listen, honestly, you can't tell them when they ask a question about, if God exists, then what about that? What about this thing? And what about babies being born blind? What about war? What about all of these issues? The Bible has an answer for all these things. We are to give them an answer. So here's where we're going to start, and we'll end rather quickly because time is limited, but it's very vital you understand this. Up front, you guys, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, look at it with me. He says, "And you he made alive." The word means to be quickened. It's the same word that's used when a mom-to-be, pregnant, she begins to go into the precursors to labor. Her body begins to quicken. Her body begins to get ready. The Bible here says, God made you alive. He brought you to life. And you ask the question, I'm already living. Why do I need God? Look, it says here that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Those of us who are Christians, why do we sing these songs in worship? We were once dead in trespasses and sins. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to come to Jesus tonight because the Bible says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You see, what does that mean? Trespasses and sins. It was like this. Before I was a Christian, listen, I would call girls up and say, hey, would you like to sin next Friday night? I mean, let's be honest. That was straight. That's exactly what happened. You did it, too. Don't look at me like that. You did it. Hey, you know what I was thinking? Next Friday night, 8 o'clock, you want to sin? And then if you really perfect sinning, then you are transgressing. Hey, you know, these last 3 weeks have been amazing. Let's get together and let's transgress now. Sin's bad enough. Sin is when you know you shouldn't be doing it and you do it, right? Transgression is, I absolutely not only know it's wrong, I'm making plans to do it, and I'll see you next week at 8 o'clock. And God could be looking, and it's just tough anyway. That's transgression. The Bible tells us that Eve sinned. She crossed the line, right? She sinned. The Bible tells us Adam transgressed. He saw Eve. Imagine, read the Bible carefully. The book of Timothy tells us that Eve must have been alone when Satan came and she sinned because Adam transgressed. He saw what had happened and he thought for a moment, God, her. What, her. Satan, nowhere does it say that Satan deceived Adam, does it? The Bible tells us Eve was deceived by the serpent and Adam chose to sin. Listen, you know why you need Jesus tonight? Because you and I are transgressors. We're sinners. Here's the amazing thing. I'm a Christian. My sins have been forgiven. You say, well, isn't that convenient for you? But wait. Listen, please understand this. As a Christian, I'm talking to the real Christians here. When you realize how your sins, according to the Bible, put Jesus on the cross, the last thing you ever want to do now is go out and sin. I'm talking about real Christians. Listen, it's true. Listen, real Christians say, you know what? I own my sin. I own this. And Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. You paid the debt that I could never pay. Your blood covered me. Your blood took away my sin, and you've changed my life. And I give my life to you now, and I'm going to live for you. Listen, does the Christian sin today? Answer, yes. Well, then what's the difference? The real Christian hates their sin. And listen, a person who's simply religious, they just think they can just, well, I'll just sin and then ask God to forgive me. That's called antinomianism, big word. It simply means this. I am planning on, I'm religious, I'm going to drop the Jesus name, and I'll go to church maybe next week and kind of patch it all up with that, kind of weigh it all out, but the bottom line is, I'm going to go do that thing. Are you with me? This is the way most religious people live in the world. And I want you to know something, that's not real. It's not what God does in a life. I'm here to tell you tonight that Ephesians right here is telling us that God changes our lives. He changes us. I was a very, very proficient sinner. And I heard I never grew up with the gospel. I never heard the word of God. At the age of 19, I actually, with sin plans, made the wrong turn and pulled into a church parking lot. I didn't know Calvary Costa Mesa was a church. It didn't even have a cross on it. And who knows what the Maranatha Dove means? That's a weird shape. The Maranatha Dove, it's on the walls. Like, what is that? Who cares? There's a lot of girls in here. This is an amazing place. And I got saved. Greg Laurie came out. He gave the gospel. And I was so convicted. I was convicted because I knew that I was in trouble. Everything he went down that list, it's like, yeah, I did that. Oh, man. How's he know me like that? Sin, I was convicted. I was dead. I thought I was alive, but I was dead. And you may be living life and you think, man, it's so great, it's so great. Listen, the Bible says sin's pleasurable for a season, but then the bill comes due. And it's a serious thing because, listen, did it take your life spiritually? You'll be alienated from God. You say, well, you know, why should I believe in God? Because, listen, God exists. God's real. He's the creator. There's enough evidence to absolutely just evidence alone to bring you to the place of saying, God, forgive me. It's remarkable. God constantly gives you a witness that he exists. Listen, I mean this affectionately. If you're not a Christian tonight, in fact, I'm stealing this from an old scientist. He's now gone in heaven. He said, God gave us two Bibles. Listen carefully. God gave us two Bibles. One you can read right here, and if you don't have it, then just look at his creation, and you'll find him. And you know what the Bible tells us in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the Bible says regarding the stars and the elements in the sky, day unto day they utter their speech. Night unto night their voice goes out and there's no place where their message is not heard. Think of it for a moment. We get so cluttered and we're so busy, we don't stop to think that when we look up, the heavens declare the glory of God. We're so busy, we don't stop. How'd that get there? We don't ask, how'd that happen? Who's governing all that stuff anyway? You've got to conclude tonight, it's all a super-duper accident, or it's engineered. Well, number two, what about your own body? You're sitting here tonight, and your lungs are moving, your heart, your blood's pumping. There's stuff going on right now that is more powerful, literally powerful, inside of your body, displaying the power of God happening in your biology than the entire Milky Way galaxy, and that is a scientific mathematical fact. Your DNA alone is literally impossible to define without having an engineer designated to it. Scientists know this. If you're a scientist tonight, if you're a researcher, a physician, a nurse, if you're a biologist, chemist, you are working in a world that screams the fingerprints of God. Everything you and I enjoy happens by design and by creation. If it's the car you drove in to get here or the bicycle, it had a designer. Think of it. It's that power that says to you tonight, I change lives. You may have come here tonight thinking, my life's a mess. It'll never change. Listen, it can change. You're right. It won't change unless you give it back to the one who created your life. Your designer knows how to change your life. He will absolutely change your life. But you've got to understand something. He made you. He knows how you work. He knows what's best for you. And the first thing he says is, regarding your sins, they've got to be dealt with. That's the number one. There's an urgency about it. You say, well, why doesn't heaven win the lottery first? Because you could win all the money in California and drop dead 5 seconds after you have it, and not one penny is going to get you into heaven. Think about it. Well, what if I tithe it? Number one, you won't tithe it. And number two is, you can't get to heaven that way. Well, I'm a very, very moral person. Can't get to heaven that way. I'm a very good, good man. I'm a very, very good one. Can't do it. You are now saying that, listen, I am thinking this through, and I am basing my eternal destination on my own performance. And by you even thinking that thought, you are admitting in a roundabout way to the existence of God. Because you are saying, I'll work it out with him in the end. I go to Israel often. I have a lot of friends there, as I said earlier. I don't know if you know this or not. If you've ever been to Israel, and if you've talked to any Jewish people on the streets, it's a very, very interesting place in the entire world. But don't you think everybody in Israel who are Jewish, that they all believe in God? They don't. And it's funny because they'll say, I heard you talk about God. I'm not a believer. They'll say, I'm not a believer. So why aren't you a believer? How come? I'm Jewish. Well, what kind of an answer is that? I'm gonna tell you a real thing that really happened. So what kind of answer is that? It's my answer. But listen, you say you're Jewish, but you don't believe in God. You can't be a Jew without believing in God. The word Jew means to worship God. That's what the word Jew means. Did you know that? You can't be a Jew without worshiping God. The word Jew, is anybody in here by the name of Judy? Judy? Any Judys? Judy comes from the root word in Hebrew to praise God. It's where you get the word Jew from. Are you Jewish? Yes, I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in God. Impossible. So we get into this argument, and it's a blast because here's the deal. And listen, does this apply to you? As this argument lovingly gets heated up and gets going, I ask them, so why, tell me now, why do you not believe in God? Where was he in the Holocaust? That's a great indictment, right? Where was he? If he's God, where was he in the time of suffering? Where was he? I see. You don't believe in God because you're angry at God for not being with your people through the Holocaust. Even though the book of Deuteronomy says if you reject him, he's going to bring Holocaust upon your life. Did you know that? Yes, that's correct. I don't believe in God because I'm angry at him for not coming to the rescue of our nation. How can you be angry at him who does not exist? Look, you may be here tonight, and you say, look, my friend's been telling me, asking me to come, bribed me here with dinner tonight if I'd come to church, but I don't ever want to go to church because I got ripped off by a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or this person bummed me out or whatever your excuse is. Do you understand what you're doing right now? Listen, if that's you tonight, listen. You're angry. What are you doing? You're angry at a person. I understand that. But what did God have to do with it? You're no different than the Jewish person. You're angry at God because he didn't intervene in the situation. Wait a minute. Maybe God's got a better plan. Maybe God knows what he's doing. Get your eyes off of people and put them on Jesus alone. Because people will let us down. People are going to hurt us. People are going to let us down. It's so absolutely true. And so, listen, for whatever the argument may be that you're going to encounter in people that you share with, they're going to say, I don't believe in God because there's war in the world. No, the truth is, you just admitted that you don't like the way God runs the universe. Christopher Hitchens, anybody know who I'm talking about? Christopher Hitchens, if you ever listen to his arguments in his debates, tragically, he's in eternity tonight. But Christopher Hitchens, if you ever listen to his arguments, he never once disproves the existence of God. He's angry with how God runs the universe. I find that interesting. You cannot change your life. God has the power to change life, your life. And it all starts with this very, very first acknowledgement, is that Jesus saves me from my sins. Listen, it doesn't. We've been sold this bill of goods that we need to better our lives. It doesn't work. I mean, look, you can work out. Work out. Go ahead. Work out. Well, yeah, I'm losing some weight. I'm going to change my life. I've been watching that Marie Osmond thing with the Weight Watchers, and I'm going to go for it. Hey, that's great. You know, that's great. But it's not going to change your life. Honestly, let's be honest. Look, she'll charge you. I'm giving this to you for free. It won't. It's not going to change your life. Yeah, but okay, you know what? I'm gonna do this. I'm going to get this sucked in. I'm going to get this trimmed off. I'm going to get this put on. I'm going to get this pumped in. It's not going to change your life. Okay? It won't change your life. And you say, well, I feel better. Yeah, for a little bit. We're talking about eternity here. Jesus Christ died on the cross, listen, to save us forever. The Bible says eternity is forever. You and I are going to die someday, unless the Lord comes back. Wouldn't that be awesome? I pray he comes back tonight. That's a long drive home. I didn't realize how far away you guys were. That's amazing. He could come back tonight. He can come anytime. But if he doesn't, you're going to die. I love you, but you're going to die. We're all going to die. Stats are overwhelming. We're going to die. And where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Jesus said, that unless you're born again, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Born again. We have people come, I'm sure it happens in this church, we have people come to our church and they'll hear the challenge from Jesus to be born again, and they'll come up in the foyer and they'll say, well, what is this thing about being born again? I've been going to church all my life, I never heard it. Look, if there's one thing you should hear in church, it's that. Jesus said to Nicodemus, so if you think tonight, well, I'm a very good person, you're not as good as Nicodemus. You're not as good as him. John chapter 3, you can read it. He was amazing. His righteous works were probably better than all of us combined. The guy's amazing. And he's kind of flattering Jesus in a way. Jesus, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. Nobody can do the miracles you do. And Jesus goes, unless you're born again, you're not going to the kingdom of heaven. It's like, boom! And he goes, how can this be? And Jesus said, I'm telling you right now. Unless you're born from above, just like you were born into this world through your mom, unless you're born from above in this life, you're not going to make it there. Jesus Christ said that. What does that mean? It means, first of all, as I've been saying, we own our sin. You know, we live in a culture of blaming everybody. I wasn't nursed long enough as a child. Somebody says, and then somebody says, I was nursed too long as a child. Nobody gave me affirmation when I... Look, who did not grow up in a dysfunctional home? Did we not all grow up in a dysfunctional home? You know what dysfunctional means? Not normal. None of us grew up in a normal home. We were somehow maligned, ripped off, bummed, disappointed. It happened to us all. Listen, whatever's gone on in your life, you may be here tonight saying, well, you know what? I came in here, Pastor, you have no idea, this was my last attempt at hope. After tonight, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to go kill myself. Why? My life's been so bad. Well, I have a word for you. Pastor John was talking about how he gets tired hanging around me. And it's true, but the only reason is I'm never like this unless I'm talking about God. I'm a very boring person. It's God. It's God. And I'll tell you why. I survived an abortion in 1957. And I was later born in a hospital. I didn't find that out till way later in my life. I was about 17 years of age. And I didn't care. When you're 17, you don't care about anything. But I found out I survived a failed abortion. Rejected in my home. Oh, listen, can you play the violins, please? Cue the violins. All this stuff. Hated by my dad. Rejected by my brother. Never. You know what? And here's the deal. I can confess that I was a very violent person. I was very, very, out there in the world sinning it up. But I heard the gospel at the age of 19. It wasn't until I heard the gospel that everything made sense. And that God had a plan for my life. Listen, please hear this. It may be the only thing you hear tonight, and it'll be fine with me, is whatever the things that you and I are kind of coddling, like, man, this is my problem. I grew up in a home, and my parents were drunks, and it was horrible. It was horrible. But hear me out all the way. Do you know how powerful the gospel is? Listen to me. The gospel is so powerful. In fact, I got to tell you, honestly, I mean it. I mean it. Listen. The person tonight who doesn't appreciate the magnitude of how lost they once were, or maybe tonight, how lost you are. I'm sad for you. Because only in Jesus Christ there is no other gospel that gives you this. Listen, there's no other Jesus. There's a lot of different Jesus out there that people write up to your door and knock on the door to give you other Jesuses. It's not the Bible Jesus. There's so much religion out there that can't do anything for you. This Jesus of the Bible is the only one who, for example, right, can have a woman who's been caught in the act of adultery be thrown down at his feet. And he heals the entire situation and sends her off a new person. Listen, I have now, after 37 years of being a Christian, I have come to this conclusion. Everything that I thought was a setback in my life, I have now found through Jesus and drawing closer to Him, those setbacks, those sorrows and pains are literally the greatest tools for power to share with other people's lives, even mostly one-on-one. The very thing that this world says, you need to really, really nurse that along for the rest of your life. My feelings say, yes, I do. Right? Oh, yeah. And you know, when things get rough, I can kind of lean on that. It can kind of be like my little excuse. Why'd you blow up like that? Why did you bite the dog? Because of this situation that I've always... Are you with me? You may not like me right now, and I have a car waiting, and away I'll go in a minute. Listen, but I'm telling you the truth. If you are coddling something, and that's your little, you know, thing, give it to Jesus tonight. Give it to Him, because He'll take it, and He'll say, thank you very much. Thank you. Here, give that to me. Oh, and here's my righteousness. Now you're ready for heaven. And oh, all this stuff that you thought was your incredible setback, and it was, but here's what I do. I'm going to empower my word over this stuff, and it is going to be, each of these great setbacks are going to be tremendous powerhouses in your life now. I was mocked, rejected, the stuttering, I stuttered all my life, made fun of, there's other things that happened to me because of it, and I have to tell you, you guys, personally, if that stuff didn't happen to me in life, I would probably be walking around biting my fingernails and scared. But you know what? After going through stuff in life, it's like, you know what? I don't really care anymore. Well, that guy doesn't like you. I don't care. You know what? No, seriously. I mean, it's not being rude. It's just that I've survived other things. Do you hear me? Jesus Christ makes everything come together. And I'm not saying that in a way that it's just some kind of a magical thing and He's just like a wonderful Band-Aid. He's not a wonderful Band-Aid. He's an absolute life changer. And so I was asked to come tonight and to share that. And that's what's important to me is, what do I share? What do I share? I can only share what He's done in my life. And I'm blown away that God has given me an amazing wife of 35 plus years of marriage. I got two grandkids that are blowing my mind. That's awesome and exciting and wonderful. The church is crazy, honestly. You guys, I see a couple people in here who attend, and they know, you know, Jack's just, that's who he is. So how does this happen? How does this church thing happen? I don't know. God has done it, and He's doing it. And listen, my identity is not wrapped up in the church. Listen, I love my wife and I love my grandkids and my kids. My identity, though, is not wrapped up in them. You say, man, how can you say that? That's mean. No, you don't understand. I love them. But my identity is wrapped up in Jesus. And I'm not just saying that to be, you know, religious. I'm telling you, doctrine, Bible doctrine, and I thank God for your pastor. Did you know your pastor is famous in Calvary Chapel around the world for being a man committed to doctrine? And listen, that is a big, big deal. That is a huge deal. Because if you tamper with Bible doctrine, then you can make up all or any rules you want. But the Bible says what it says. God means what He says. And God said this, that He so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe, trust, lean upon Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Think of it. That same gospel of John chapter 3 tells us that Jesus is the light that came into the world, but men love their darkness more than the light. And that because of that, their condemnation is upon them. The word is on the back of their neck like an axe, waiting to fall at any moment because they would not come to the light. And I want to ask you tonight, if given the opportunity to accept Christ right where you're at tonight, would you do it? Would you do it? Or do you still have things that you're hiding behind, things that you would say, well, I can't believe in God because I've been educated so much. Well, how about this? You're not as educated as Newton was. One of the greatest mathematicians, if not the greatest mathematician in the world today, is John Lennox, Oxford University, genius, loves Jesus, teaches the Bible. Did you know that? He debates Richard Dawkins all the time. Did you know that? Richard Dawkins is no slouch when it comes to his brain either. Do you know who I'm talking about? He's a genius. Both of them are geniuses. Both of them at Oxford University. Listen, one man does not believe in God and the other one does. What does that tell you tonight? That believing in God is not an intellectual issue. They're both world-class geniuses. It's the choices they've made. And I'm going to ask you tonight to make a choice. If you, tonight, as I'm watching the clock tick, and I've got a minute and a half to end, seriously, watch this. What if in a minute and a half, the lights went out, the show was over, your heart stopped pumping, the end, the trumpet blew, it's over, done. Where would you be? Well, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Well, you just throw that dice, buddy. I'm glad it's you throwing it for you, but don't throw it for me. You see what I'm saying? What if the ship is pulling away? You're not going to get on unless you get on now, right? Think of it. Your heart could stop. You say, well, why are you laying it down like that? Because listen, the Bible says now is the acceptable time. Today's the day. Do you know him? Do you know that he's the one who died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave exactly as the Bible said he would? That makes him a science. The Bible said Jesus would do this, and Jesus did it. The Bible said he would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. The Bible said that he would offer himself up for your forgiveness. And what are you going to do about that? Let's bow our heads in prayer, and I want you to all be thinking. And I want to start with the believer first. And Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that first of all, we as believers would pause tonight one more time in this service to say thank you, Lord God, for receiving us. You found us right where we were at. You saved us as lost, absolute, hell-bound people. Lord, you brought us out of the darkness into the light. And as believers tonight, we are grateful and we are thankful. And we know that if there's someone around us who does not yet know you, the only difference between them and us is that your grace has opened our eyes to see. And we pray tonight that you would touch someone in here this evening, Lord. That maybe they've come here this evening and they've had their excuses to hide behind, or they've had their religion that has been like a bumper around them all their lives, but there's no blood. There's no cross. There's no dependence upon the forgiveness of God. There's no new life. There's no change that has happened. It's just status quo. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, if God has been speaking to you this evening, and I know this is a humbling moment, but you know what? That's right on. That's okay. That's fantastic. But maybe God is speaking to you tonight and you're saying, I need to do this. I need to decide on Jesus tonight. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, would you put your hand up and I want to pray for you tonight? You're saying that's me and I want him tonight in my life.